I'm excited to share what God has given me for us. You know, whenever I preach a message, I know that I'm going to have some experiences in living the message right before. And so I just know that. And the Lord is always faithful to give that to me. But why don't we pray before we hear the word of God tonight? I really want the Holy Spirit to speak to each one of us individually. You know, it's amazing how the Spirit of God can take one message and yet make it real to each one of us because he created us each so uniquely. And so that's my prayer for us tonight. So why don't you join me and we'll pray. So Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to speak to your people. Lord, I thank you that you are here, that your presence is here. Lord, that you are already working in our lives. Father, we give you full reign, Holy Spirit, to do that which you want to do. And Lord, we will give you all the praise and all the glory for any fruit, Lord, that comes, Lord, from being in your presence. And Father, I pray that you would show each one of us that which you are speaking to each one of us individually, and that let us be not just hearers of the word, but also doers. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to talk to us tonight about being on course or off course. Are you on course or are you off course? And if all of us were honest, you know, there might be an area in our life where we might admit that, you know what, I might be getting a little bit off course in that. How many of you have had the experience of being on the beach and all of a sudden you're in the water and there's an undertow? And pretty soon you look up and you don't know where your things have gone because you have been led all the way down the shoreline and you have to come out and go looking for your stuff. I remember my dad, many, many years ago, we were at the beach and there was a young girl who was 9 years old and she was in the water and he noticed that she had gotten caught by an undertow and she was getting sucked out into the ocean. And so he did the only thing, the right thing, which was go in after her. And what happened was pretty soon he was also caught by the undertow. And we watched. It was the scariest thing I'd ever seen. I was about 8 years old. We watched the ocean just take them on and on and on and on until we could not see them any longer. And it's fair to say that they got off course. They weren't intending to go in that direction. My dad was actually doing the right thing at the right time. He was about the business that he knew he was supposed to do, but yet he got off course and he was sucked out to sea. Well, thankfully, the Lord brought him back to safety, and my dad is very much alive and well, and so is the young girl. But my point is that it is possible to get off course in any given area of our life. Now, course is defined as a path or a route that runners, skiers, bikers take, especially in a race. And you know, we're all in that most important race of all. It's also defined as a particular path that something takes as it moves, or the path along which a river flows. And you know, we can not follow the intended route, and that's when we get lost, off course, or confused. I remember 2 years ago, we were out in California at my nephew's wedding, and we were given directions to the bride's house. Do you remember that, hon? And he's already in a bad mood. And he and I and my dad's wife, Marty, and we were going to go early. And we thought that we had the given directions, our GPS was set. But I'll tell you what, after about an hour of what was supposed to only take 15 minutes, I say it's pretty fair to say that we were off course. And we had gone around and around and around and around, and we began to notice certain landmarks. Oh, there's that pharmacy again. You know, it's got to be here somewhere. How many of you in your spiritual walk feel like you're going around and around and around the same mountain? Sometimes it happens. You know, sometimes I know that I have not passed a particular test that the Lord gave. And thankfully, like you said the other day, he never fails us. He never flunks us out. He just keeps giving us the test again and again until we get it right. But this time we kept going around in circles. And finally, he became so irate that we called him, my nephew, and we said, Dan, for heaven's sakes, walk us through this. And as it turned out, the GPS was wrong. and we had been given faulty directions. And so I'll tell you what, that's one way to get off course when the directions that you are following are not correct. And so I want to talk to us tonight. You know, the Bible clearly tells us that it is not God's will that any man should perish. Yet he also gave us the power of free will. We choose. We can choose the wrong path if we so desire to. Proverbs 14:12, and this talks about people that have chosen the wrong path, that have chosen not to follow the Lord. You can rationalize it all you want and justify the path of error you've chosen, but you'll find out in the end that you took the road to destruction. I can't think of anything more frightening than to get to the end of my life and find out that I had taken the path to destruction. Now, thankfully, we are not going to choose the path to destruction. We are going to choose the right road, the right course, the right path, because we belong to Jesus. But the Bible does, and I want to just make clear that there are two paths. Proverbs 4:18-19 in the Passion Version says, "The lovers of God walk on the highway of light, and their way shines brighter and brighter until they bring forth the perfect day. But the wicked walk in thick darkness like those who travel in fog and yet don't have a clue why they keep stumbling." Do you know darkness can be very disorienting? Even if you know your circumstances, even if you know your situation, even if you know the order of the particular room that you're in. In our bedroom, we have some blinds that cut out all of the light. Absolutely. And it's a great thing for when you want to go to sleep, because there's no light that comes in and it's really dark and, you know, you can sleep very well. But the other night, I had a crazy experience where I had gotten up in the middle of the night, and when I came back, I found myself disoriented. Even though, I will tell you, I'm not one of those women that changes the bedroom furniture or the house furniture around. I have the same order that I put when I moved in my house 18 years ago. Now, many of you are much more creative than that, but I just want to say that. I want you to get the picture here. I have no excuse. It wasn't like I had just changed around the furniture. This is exactly the way that this room has been for 18 years. But I became disoriented in the darkness. And pretty soon, I found myself, I had walked all the way around the bed, and I was patting at my husband, trying to find where, and he woke up startled. "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm just trying to find my way into the bed." And I realized that I had gotten disoriented because of the darkness. And you know, we do not want to be on a dark path. We want to be on the highway of light, the highway that talks about that it becomes clearer and clearer as we go. That's the highway that we want to be on. Another factor that's very real when we're on our journey or on our course are hindrances. How many of you have ever been hindered from doing something that you wanted to do? Galatians 5:7 says, "You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth?" And in the NIV, I love this translation because it says, "You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth?" Who cut in on you? You know, we just came through some Olympic Games. How many of you have ever watched a race and you'll see all of the runners in their lanes? And sometimes one runner will get out of the particular lane that they're supposed to run in, and they will get across the other into the another runner's lane, and they'll get tangled up. And sometimes the effect can be disastrous, and one of them will fall. And sometimes that's the end of it for them, because the Olympic race, you know, they've already lost out. And so this is the picture that the Bible is telling us, that somebody who cut in on your lane and knocked you out of the race. We all know that we have an enemy, and that's exactly a graphic picture of what he would like to do and to you and to me. We're running our race. We've got the prize set in front of us, and he would like to cross over into our lane and hinder us from apprehending what the Lord has for us. I just want to say, I am not willing that the enemy should hinder me from any good thing or from running my race for Jesus' sake, and I'm not willing for it to happen to you either. Praise God. We want to be with those on the highway of light, not going in circles, not allowing the enemy to hinder us, in the perfect timings of God. Now, you know, I just have to say, I'm not a serious, I don't consider myself a serious runner. I couldn't say that in a town full of Marines that do PT all the time. But I ran my first for what for me was a marathon. It was a 5K. My first 5K in 2012. And I learned so many things from doing that. I'm getting ready actually to do it again. Yeah, I know I'm crazy. No, I'm not crazy. The Lord has us all in a race, and I tell you what, there's many, many parallels that we can take from running in the physical. But one of the things that I have to say that I saw from that physical race is that we need grace. We need the grace of God to cover us in our race. We cannot finish well and the way that God wants us to without the grace of God heavy on our lives. And He empowers us. He gives us that grace to run well, to do what He's called us to do. And the other thing that I saw, and I saw this when I was running the physical race, was that it helps. It's really necessary that you have someone running with you. You know, when I ran in that 5K, I had three other sisters from this church that, you know, I have the feeling that they could have gone much faster than what they went. But they stayed right with me, man. They hung with me. Every time I looked up, there they were. There was someone right beside me. And I will say that they were all younger and in better shape than I was. But they were right with me. And I can't tell you how that helped to know that when I was tired, when I was exhausted, when I felt like I literally couldn't take one more step, they were there to encourage me. The Bible says two's better than one. If one falls, then the other will pick him up. You know, we were never meant, I say this over and over to the women, we were never meant to run our race by ourselves. We were absolutely not. And you know, the enemy can knock out one person way easier than he can knock out someone that's surrounded by brothers and sisters that are intent on your good. You need someone running beside you that is determined that not only are they going to complete their race, but that you are going to complete it too, and that they are not going to allow you to stop. They are not going to watch you get knocked out of your lane. They're not going to watch you get hindered or slowed down or pulled off your course. We need each other, and we have to have the fellowship of the saints. Now, this is my main verse that we're working off tonight, and it's Hebrews 12, verse 1 from the Passion Version. As for us, we have all of these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds. So we must let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into. Then we will be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination, for the path has been already marked out before us. Do you know the marathon race in this verse actually refers to an obstacle course? What it's saying is that this race will not be easy, but the proper path has already been set before you. In Aramaic, it says the race that has personally been appointed to us. Do you know that you have a personal race that has been marked out, personally set aside for each of one of us? We all have that. The Lord, before you were even born, He had a particular race set before you. Psalms 139:16 says, "You saw who you created me to be before I became me. Before you became you, the Lord saw who you were. Before I'd even seen the light of day, the number of days you planned for me were already recorded in your book." So the Lord has a book for you, and He has a book for me. I'll tell you how I used to understand that verse. I used to understand that the Lord was watching and He had angels recording, and every time I did something good or something bad, it all got written down in the book. And I suspect that that's probably some of what happens. But I'll tell you a deeper understanding that the Lord has brought me to. What this verse is actually saying is before I was ever an idea, before I was ever in my mother's womb, before you were ever even brought onto this earth, the Lord wrote a book about you, how He saw you, what He wanted you to do, what He had called you to do, the gifts and the callings that He was going to put within you so you could accomplish that. He was going to put the gifts, the spiritual gifts and revelations that were going to be part of your arsenal against the enemy. And that was all in that book before you ever even came into this earth. That's the book that what he's talking about. And so you see, our job becomes to find out what's written in that book so that we can begin to live that book. You know, we think about standing before the judgment seat and how God is going to look at our lives and how he's going to say, well, you know, this sin and that sin, or you didn't do this and you didn't do that. And the Bible does clearly speak about sin. I'm not minimizing sin. We will have to give an account of our lives before God. But I also feel that what he's going to look at is how close we came to his heavenly book that was written about us. How much did we apprehend that? How much did we grab a hold of his plan? What he had written before you were ever born, before I was ever born. Did we seize it? Did we match it? Or did we insist on doing our own thing in our own way? And like Pastor was talking about, our own stubbornness. And did we not even understand what God had called us to? So that's a sobering thought, isn't it? Before you get too scared, let me just say this. Because there are some like me that will tend to agonize over something like that. And pretty soon you'll be too paralyzed. I will be too paralyzed to even move because I'll think, well, I wonder if that's right. Well, I wonder if I should be doing that. Well, maybe I shouldn't be doing that. And pretty soon I'll obsess over, you know, we can get into that too. Let me just say this. Then this is something that really set me free in this area. The Lord told me, he said, don't put more faith in Satan's ability to deceive you than in my ability to lead you. Let's say that again. Isn't that good? The Lord does not want you or me to put more faith in the enemy's ability to deceive us than we do in his grace and his ability to show us, to lead us, to guide us, to shine the light on our path, that it will light up before us so that we can absolutely apprehend everything that's written in that book about you and about me before we ever even came onto this earth. Hallelujah. That's good news. He does have a specific plan for you and for me, and his ways are so much higher than ours. You know, so many times we waste time arguing and saying things like, well, I'll never do that. Well, I never will marry a pastor. That's what I said. Well, I never will do this. Well, that's not for me. You know, some people can do that. You know what? I don't even say that anymore. I say, Lord, your ways are higher than my ways. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. I am not smart enough to figure out the way I should go, but thank heavens, you already did. You already figured it out for me, and all I have to do is listen and apprehend that for which you apprehended me for, in Jesus' name. So let me tell you a few things that we're going to need to stay on course. Okay, these are not exhaustive. There's probably many, many more things, but these are the things that God has been dealing with me very strongly about in the last 2 months. So I want to share those with you. The first thing is we need living water for the path. In the natural, one of the mistakes I made was not to be hydrated enough when I was running. And you know, in the natural, that leads to cramping, it leads to dehydration, it leads to not being able to run the way that you want to run. We need to ask the Lord for living water. Jesus said in John 7, 37, 38, all you thirsty ones, come to me. Come to me and drink. Believe in me so that rivers of living water will burst out from within you, flowing from your innermost being, just like the scripture says. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you with living water. We can't live without it. We can't run our race without it. Holy Spirit is here to refresh you, to encourage you, to shine light upon you. And you know, when we talk about water, we also talk about the water of the word. And Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now, in those two verses alone, there are so many action verbs. There's come, there's drink, believe, meditate, speak, do. We can't leave any of them out. So many times I've watched as we Christians, we get caught up and we'll relegate our devotional to just maybe a quick reading, a mental ascent of the scriptures so we can cross off our boxes on our devotional chart. And that's not what the Lord is speaking about. He's talking about taking action. He's talking about coming to Him, drinking, believing, meditating, speaking out, doing. You can't leave any of them out. Do you know if we just hurriedly read through the scriptures and if we don't drink of the Holy Spirit, we're going to be thirsty. We're going to be dry. We're not going to have the power that He wants to give us to empower us to live the life that He has for us to do. I'll tell you what, living a life without Holy Spirit power is incredibly difficult and incredibly boring, and I don't want to do that. I want every bit of refreshing and power that the Holy Spirit has for me and for you. And so we should make it a regular practice to come and say, Lord, fill me again. I'm feeling dry. I need a drink. I need to drink of the living water. And we need to speak and meditate His scriptures. You know, I'm a quiet person by nature. And you know, many of the times that I would read silently. And the Lord began to deal with me on that. He began to say, speak aloud my word. Speak it. You know, Jesus in the wilderness, when the enemy came against Him, Jesus answered aloud and He said, it is written. And that was how He came back against the enemy, and the enemy had to flee. And the enemy will flee from you and from me as we answer, it is written. And I'll tell you what, you will encourage yourself. When your voice is lifted up and you're not giving in to whining and pity parties and stuff like that, and all you begin to do is say, you know what, in a loud voice with as much faith as you can muster, you begin to declare the word of God. I'll tell you what, it won't be long before your faith is going to start to rise. Faith comes by hearing, even when it's your own voice. And if there's no one else in the room to speak faith to you, then you need to begin to speak aloud the word of God and address what the enemy is coming at you with the word. And then I'll tell you something else powerful. The power of agreement. When you speak your word, the word of God, all heaven comes into agreement. Jesus has already spoken that word. He is in agreement with you. And so the power of agreement comes into play. And so now it's not just you speaking the word, but He is coming to back you up with all the power that is His. And it is powerful, that dynamic. And so we need to begin to speak the word of God, meditate the word of God. If we don't meditate on it, we won't grab the hidden, deeper meanings that He wants to reveal to us. So that's what I am talking about when I'm talking about drink of the living water. It's not just reading the scripture, though that's part of it, but it's all these action verbs. The second thing that we need is clarity for the path. We don't need to be confused. Proverbs 4:25 through 27 says, set your gaze on the path before you with fixed purpose, looking straight ahead. Ignore life's distractions. Watch where you're going. Stick to the path of truth, and the road will be safe and smooth before you. Don't allow yourself to be sidetracked for even a moment or take the detour that leads to darkness. Do you know that distractions are incredibly easy to fall into? Do you remember I said that the enemy will try and distract us from doing that which God has called us to? I'm going to be really transparent and share about how I recently got distracted in doing something that the Lord had clearly spoken to me to do. And you know, when you hear it said, it's going to seem like, well, how could you have gotten distracted? I'll tell you what, when the enemy is trying to distract you, it's easier than you think. But thank God that He is committed to us. And the Bible says that He who has begun a good work in you, He will complete it. And so the Lord is committed to you and to me. But let me talk to you about how I got distracted over the last year or so. And the reason that I found out that I was distracted to begin with is the Lord spoke to me in a dream. Let me just put a parenthesis here. The Lord has many ways of speaking to you and to me. He speaks through his word. He speaks through his servants. But he will also speak supernaturally if we will hear it through dreams, through visions, through the still small voice. And thank God he does. You know, I am so glad that we serve a living Savior. I'm so glad we serve someone that is willing to speak, that wants to speak to you and to me. Sometimes we don't have ears to hear, but he wants to speak to us. And so I had a dream, and in the dream, it was very clear. And I had the sense, because it was women in the dream, that God was dealing with things that relate to women in ministry and things that we deal with as women. And in the dream, we had been given this incredibly large puzzle to assemble, and we were all going to work on it together. Now, I don't do many puzzles in the natural, so I don't even know if this is real or reality, but in this dream, the puzzle had roughly 10,000 pieces. It was a very, very large, and it was a beautiful picture, and we women were given the task to assemble it together, but it was so large that we were trying to transport it, and we dropped it. We dropped all the pieces, and they scattered to all four corners of the room, and so we began to scramble to try and gather up the pieces. And I began to gather up, which I somehow knew that was my responsibility, is my pieces of the puzzle, that when we got there, I was to place those pieces in. And so I began to gather those pieces up, and I began to put them in a shoebox. And then some things came in, and I think I turned actually to do something good, and I set my box down. And when I went back to find it, I couldn't find it. Yeah, it was not good. And that's exactly how I felt in the dream. And so, but in the dream, the Lord said, and the Lord is so faithful, and I'm going to be very transparent. This is a Wednesday night crowd. This is the family crowd. So you can handle a little bit more deeply into our lives, right? All right. So the Lord said to me in the dream, he said, ask Topeka to help you find your box. So, and then I woke up. I still didn't know where the box was. I didn't know where I'd put it. But let me tell you something. I came running into work, and I said, Topeka, you got to come. We got to figure this out. And Topeka, through the Spirit of the Lord, and this is why we need each other. This is why we need the body of Christ. This is why we were not meant to walk by ourselves. When one is stumbling, when one is confused, the other one is by him to help him out. And Topeka instantly knew by the Spirit of God. And she said, you know, I believe that because of the ministry that God has given, I believe that it would be good for you to speak once a month. And when she said that, I suddenly heard in my ears, my spiritual ears, my husband, you see, had said the very same thing years before. And I had started out doing that years ago. And then things intruded, busy schedules, health challenges on my end, different things. And before I realized it, I was hardly speaking at all. But I didn't even think about it, and I wasn't consciously trying to be disobedient until I had this dream. And the Lord just shook me up, and he said, you know, and so I'll tell you what, I was quick to go back to my husband to repent, say, I've gotten off course, let me get back on track. And you were quick to forgive. That's so you're going to see me more maybe than you have for a while speaking. But this is the backstory behind it. It's not that I just, but let me just tell you what really hit me. And this was the thing that I have to make very, very clear. Because you see, the type of personality that I have, I would tend to say, oh, you know what? I'm out of the habit now. I don't need to speak. Let pastor speak. He's well equipped to do it. I don't need to. I'll just get busy with something else. But you see, what broke my heart and what I saw very clearly was that if I, and the Lord showed me where my pieces were. My pieces were smack dab in the center of that puzzle. That if I did not put those in, that it didn't matter how hard everybody else worked. They could put their pieces in perfect. They could be faithful. They could go all around the outside and do exactly what they were called to do. But you see, if I didn't do my part, the picture would have no meaning. It was not going to, and it broke my heart. I thought, I can't do that to my sisters that are working so hard. We all must come together. We all must put our piece of the puzzle. We all have a part of the picture that the Lord is building, that the Lord is putting together. And as that comes into it, then it doesn't become about yourself or what you feel qualified to do or what you feel you can do or someone else could maybe do it better. It becomes, did God say to do it? Yes, then I'm going to be obedient, because if I don't, then it will not make sense, the picture that he's giving all of us to build together. So let me encourage you, if you have gotten off course in any area of something that God has called you to do, just know that it's going to affect not just you, but all the brothers and sisters around you, because without your peace, there's going to be something missing. Let me just leave it right there. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. The third thing, humility and teachability. You know, it's tempting, especially as we get older, to think we've got it all figured out. I have learned that the Lord loves a humble heart. He loves it when we are teachable. He loves it when we don't think that we know it all, or that we're so stubborn that we have to have it our way. You know, I remember in that 5K several years ago, I was kind of looking around and I thought, you know, well, all those, there's some Marines over there. I know they'll be faster than I am, and that those people are young. They'll do really well. But I was so grateful because there was an older woman that was standing over to my right, and I thought, well, maybe I can keep up. I'll keep up with her. Wrong. Wrong. The Bible says man judges by the outward appearance, but God judges from the heart. What I didn't realize was that that lady for 33 years had been running 3 miles a day. And so she left us all in the dust. You know, we cannot think that we've got it all figured out. And let me just say this. The Holy Spirit has been dealing with me very strongly about that, because there's things that if we will let him, he will speak to us, and he will clarify, and he will give us new revelation. But I'll tell you what, there's some people in physical form that maybe we might not look at and think, well, that's a father in the faith, well, that's a mother in the faith. Man judges by the outward appearance. I want to say that God has shown me that there are many people that can help you and I with our race that maybe we wouldn't even realize it, but that God is going to open up your eyes and open up your spirits and open up your hearts to realize that there are people that will help you with your race, that will teach you about things pertaining to the race. You know, when I first started running, I didn't even know what kind of things that I needed to wear. I quickly found out that the things I had were not practical. But we need to learn all types of things about the race. And let me just say this, a flexible, teachable, humble heart, God loves. God loves. You need that. If we have ever gotten to the place where we think that we have it all figured out, then we're wrong. My brother was just in Brazil with John Bevere. And John Bevere has written a book called Killing Kryptonite, and I think maybe some of you have read it. But he spoke about how the root of idolatry is stubbornness. One of the roots of idolatry is stubbornness. The Bible talks about going our own stubborn way. You know, we cannot go our own way. We cannot think that we have it all figured out. 1 Samuel 15:23 says, stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. So, you know, as someone who has been accused of being stubborn my whole life, I take that very seriously. And I look and I want to say, Lord, forgive me of my stubbornness. Forgive me if in any way I have placed my way, my thoughts, higher than your thoughts. And I want to switch it now and put your thoughts and your way in first place in Jesus' name. Number four, and we're almost done. We need repentance for the path. Our scripture, Hebrews 12:1, talks about the sin we so easily fall into. And in the Passion Version, which I absolutely love, would encourage any of you that have not to check it out. It's got so much rich side notes and translations. But what he says in the side note there, the sin that so easily besets us, if it refers to any one sin, it's the sin of unbelief. The sin of unbelief is easy to fall into. And I began to look at our own family tree, because I come from a long generation of godly people. I love my family. I'm very blessed. But God showed me that in our family, we have had a root of unbelief. And unbelief is simply, you know, sometimes we will disguise it. We'll call it worry. We'll call it anxiety. We'll call it fear. We'll call it any number of things. But the truth is that when it boils down to it, we are not believing that the Lord's able to save us, that the Lord's able to help us, that the Lord will come through for us, that the Lord will do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And you know, my grandma on my dad's side was someone that I loved and I really respected. She was awesome. She was a little Irish lady. She played keyboard. She had perfect pitch. She had 8 children. She was an awesome cook. She made homemade biscuits every day. You know, I used to love to go and stay at her house. Grandmas have a very important role. Let me just say that to you, grandmas. God bless you. Speak life into your grandchildren. But my grandma, as she took me to church every chance she got, she was a very godly woman, an awesome person. But I'll tell you what began to happen, and we called her Mama. Mama, the older she got, began to get increasingly anxious about her grandchildren and her children. And it got to the point where she would call several times, not just in a day, but several times in an hour, she would call to check up on them. And then she could hardly hang up, but then she would call again. And you know, we just kind of dealt with it because we knew that Grandma loved us and Mama wanted the best for us. But I saw that that was a root of unbelief. And the crazy thing was that the older I got, I saw tendencies began to come out of me. And if any of you have raised teenagers, you'll know that there's plenty of opportunities that the enemy will cause you to have fear and unbelief and anxiety about your kids' well-being. And, you know, thank God all my kids are no longer teenagers, and they are all serving God. Praise Jesus. They're all alive. It's a miracle. It's the grace of God. And I'm very, very blessed. But I'll tell you what, I can remember that particular point. And I can remember one of the kids was in Australia. And I remember Ariana calling me one night, and she said, Mom, I'm walking home from work. She had just a little ways to go. She said, but I'm kind of scared. Will you just talk to me as I walk? And I'm thinking, okay, God, you are going to take this unbelief right out of my heart, because there is absolutely nothing that I can do. It has to be you. And I want to tell you something. When it gets right down to it, when you realize that there is absolutely nothing that you can do, that you have to put every bit of your reliance, every bit of your faith, every bit of who you are believing God for, all of that on Him and not on you, then you begin to walk in complete freedom. And I'll tell you what, just the other night, the Lord began to show me even roots of unbelief, and I began to repent. And you know what? I did something that I've never done before. I began to repent even in for my family line, even for generations gone by. I don't know why, I just felt led to do it. Since then, I have read that just about every move of God in the Bible began with someone repenting for the sins of their forefathers, repenting for the family line. And you know, it was in the middle of the night, and I had just been repenting and praying to God, and all of a sudden, I heard clear as day the song that the praise team opened up with today, Oh Happy Day, Happy Day, You've Washed My Sins Away, Oh Happy Day. I'll tell you what, repentance is a door to greater joy than you can ever imagine. We don't like to hear about repentance sometimes because we don't have a full understanding, but I'll tell you what, will repent whenever the Lord is faithful to show me an area in my life. And I want to encourage you to begin to live a repentance-filled life, because you will begin to walk in greater freedom. Your family will begin to walk in greater freedom. Repentance doesn't mean that you are unholy. To the contrary, it means that you are hearing God, that you are being sensitive to the Spirit of God, that your ears are open to hear Him. I'll tell you what, you show me a person that can repent, and I will show you a person that can hear God. I will show you a person that is sensitive to the voice of God. If you go many days without repenting, then I want you to go back to the drawing board and say, Lord, what am I missing? Because I'll tell you what, every day, if we will be faithful to listen, we can seize an opportunity to bring something before God. I want clear accounts between me and Him. I don't want anything holding me back. And I'll tell you what, our faithful Savior will be faithful to show you, because He doesn't want anything between you and Him either. In Jesus' name. And this is our last one. You need healing for the path. Back to verse Hebrews 12:1. Let go of every wound that has pierced us. That literally means the arrow tip that weighs us down and keeps us from running in freedom. You know, you can't walk through life without gathering up some arrow tips, some wounds, injustice. That's just life. You know, we've all been hurt. There's many ways that we can deal with it. There's many ways that we can respond. You can ignore it. You can be bitter. We can harbor unforgiveness, or we can be guarded and close off relationships. None of those are the way that the Lord would have us handle them. Tomorrow makes 11 years since my mom went to be with Jesus. And many of you have heard me share about her before. My mom was my best friend. She was a very godly person. She was someone that was very, very dear to many people, and especially to her kids and husband and grandkids. And tomorrow we will go out to the grave and we will honor her. But I want to tell you something. I had a dream about my mom just a few days ago. And in the dream, she clearly represented the Lord. But I don't believe it was an accident that I had this dream right before the anniversary of her going to be with Jesus. And in the dream, she was standing before me and another leader. And she said to us, she said, I'm going to give you a clear solution for pests. I said, well, Mom, we don't have any pests here. That's what I said. And she said, watch this. And you see, the phrase clear solution was actually a play on words. And I'm not smart enough to figure that out while I'm sleeping. Because what she did was, she said, watch this. And she put down from a spray bottle a clear solution. It was clear. But what she was really saying is, I'm going to give you the clear answer to how to deal with pests. And so she put that down on the counter, and I watched as little spiders began to, little dead bugs began to appear. And I said, oh my goodness, I didn't even know those were here. And that was the gist of the dream. Well, the next morning I was sharing with my husband. And you know, my husband is a wise man. But he's not known usually to be one that loves to interpret dreams. So when he came running into the room and said, I've got that interpretation for you, I know exactly what it means, he said, your mother represents the Holy Spirit. And the bugs represent areas of wounds and things that you have not let go of. And you know what? I wanted to say, you know what? Go back to the drawing board, you know? Because, you know, right at that point, I was willing to see that those bugs maybe were things coming from the outside that the enemy was trying to bring against us. And he said, no, those are things that are in the house. It's in you. And I began to ask the Lord, okay, Lord, if you've got a clear solution, what is it? How do we let go of those wounds? Because any of us know that if you're walking around, just think of that, if you're walking around with arrow tips lodged in you, you're obviously not going to be free to move the way that you need to and the way that I need to. And I say this with fear and trembling because this is not the normal way that I interpret dreams. And please don't go out and say that. That lady pastor said to Google and you will find the answer. But I did Google that phrase, clear solution. Did you know that there's a scientific clear solution? And do you know what it is? It's made up of water and salt. And the Lord spoke to me very, very clearly. You know, we're talking about living water, the Holy Spirit, the water of the Word, and salt. What is the church called to be? Salt and life. So the combination of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and then the church really being the church, not afraid to be salt and life, not afraid to be honest with each other, not afraid to tell each other, oops, be careful there because that path is not going to lead you the way that you're supposed to go. If we can be honest and not fake, and we can tell each other the truth in love, and if we can hear the truth in love from one another, then I'll tell you what, we will go far in letting go of the wounds that so easily beset us so that we can run with power, passion, and determination the race that sets before us. In Jesus' mighty name. When I finished my race in 2012, I was getting close to the finish line, and I didn't think I could go one more step. And then something very beautiful happened. And I don't know if this happened. I haven't run enough races to know. But people that had already crossed on, had already finished their race, came back, and they began to run alongside us, shouting encouragement all the way. You can do it. You're right at the finish line. It's just right there. Come on, I'm running with you. I'm going ahead. Don't stop now. Don't be discouraged. Let's run together. We're going to finish this in record time. And, you know, I really believe that those heavenly witnesses, they are calling. They are cheering us on. They're saying, don't stop now. And the closer we get to our destination, the more clear we're going to even hear that. And we need each other. We need the heavenly cloud of witnesses to cheer us on. But Jesus has a path set before you. And that's what I'm going to leave you with tonight. He has the course clearly laid out. Let's don't get off course. Let's stay smack dab in the very center of the path laid out before us, in Jesus' mighty name. Pastor Chris.
So let's stand to our feet tonight. It struck me strongly as Pastor Miriam was talking about the peace or the pieces that God has given to each one of us, and that we're to make sure that we put our pieces in place, that we add our piece to the puzzle. Churches are chronically short of this piece and that piece, and it's just everywhere you go, any pastor that you talk to, any conference or workshop or book, you know, that you read that deals with ministry, this is the common theme. That, well, we can't do this because we don't have anybody to do that, or we can't do that because we're lacking over here and we're lacking over there, and this piece is missing and that piece is missing. And so I think after we hear something like that, we can either just hear it and look at it and walk by it, or we can ask God to reveal to us what's going on with me. Am I doing my part? Have I been willing to bring the piece that you put in my hand and place it where it belongs? Or am I just gonna, you know, keep it in my pocket and take it home with me, and or am I gonna lay it down? And really, you know, the piece that it's not what you do, it's you. I mean, you're the piece. I'm the piece. So as we lay our lives down, and we just, the Lord says, here's your spot, and you just stand here, or you just lay down right here, then when we are positioned like that, then what he places inside of us, whether we realize that it's there or not, then that's free to be released. And nobody, the great thing about puzzle pieces is that they also are such a beautiful picture of what the Bible talks about when it talks about the body of Christ being a many-membered body. So a puzzle piece, no matter how beautiful it is or how big it is just a piece. And if you set it off somewhere, nobody knows what that is. It just doesn't mean anything because it's out of context. It's got to be connected to the thing that goes next to it and all the pieces that go around it and then all the pieces that go around that. And pretty soon, you have an expression of what God envisions when he looks at River of Life. Because the whole purpose of the puzzle is to present to the world a picture. And what is a picture? It's a vision of something. So God has a vision of something. And then that's why he brought you here, because you are a piece to that puzzle. But then once you're here, it's just like being in the box. And a puzzle piece that's just in the box can't help anybody. It's got to be put in its place. And once it's put in its place, then we see clearly. Then we fulfilled what God has for us. So tonight, as we close, the thing that we want to do is just to present ourselves to the Lord. The Bible says, present yourself to the Lord as a living sacrifice. Just be that puzzle piece that he has called you to be. And let go of all this other stuff and other things that you see or whatever it is. It's not what I see and it's not what you see. It's what God sees. It's what he saw when he created you, and then he saw that before you ever saw the light of day and knew that you would be an integral part and an important piece to the puzzle here in Jacksonville at River of Life Church. And if you're not a River of Life puzzle piece, then you're in the wrong box. You're just in the wrong box. We won't know where to put you, and we won't know what to do with you. Because this is the River of Life box. So the pieces that are here have to be River of Life pieces. God knows who they are. He always has known. Since before you were born, he knew that we would be a River of Life piece to the puzzle. So the question then is not, are you a puzzle piece? You are. I am. It's will I submit to the one who created me? And will I stand in the place that where I fit and be that person, be that piece? Will I do that? That's the question. So I want to give everybody an opportunity just to deal with that and to say to the Lord, Lord, here I am. And I know that I have not been who you called me to be. I've not been what I really am to this church. I've just not been willing to do it, not been willing to lay myself down and just be where I'm supposed to be and be who I'm supposed to be. But I repent, as Pastor Miriam talked about, repentance. I repent of that. And from this day forward, by the authority that the Holy Spirit exercises over my life, I commit to you, Lord, to be that puzzle piece in this church. I commit to do that. And so that's our challenge tonight. So will you just pray this with me? Let's just close our eyes and shut ourselves in with the Lord for a minute. Just say, Heavenly Father, I thank you that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, uniquely shaped. I fit. I fit in the puzzle. I am a piece of the puzzle. And I submit to you and your wisdom and your design. I choose to allow you to place me into the picture where I fit best, where I was designed to fit. I surrender to you and to your superior wisdom, to your desire, your vision for me and this puzzle called River of Life. I'm a piece of it. I submit to it and lay myself down in the proper place so that the picture will be complete. No gaps, no holes, no missing pieces, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. That just involves everything. It involves serving. It involves giving. It involves ministry. It involves what we do at home and what we do when we're at our jobs. It involves we're a part of something, a piece of something. And when you put all the pieces together, you really have something powerful and something tremendous. Amen? And I like that part about there being 10,000 pieces in the puzzle. 10,000 pieces. I wonder what that means. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. And I don't want people to go home thinking. Some people might think that Pastor Miriam has been falsely accused of being stubborn. And you're thinking, now, who would do that? Who would make those false accusations? And it wasn't me. I'm not guilty of that. I don't know who says that, but it's not me. All right, let's pray. Father, we bless you and we thank you for the word tonight. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless us, Lord, to be able to meditate on the word of God, that the word of God would be received and absorbed and that it would work its way out in our lives in the form of good fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Bless each person. Bless each marriage. Bless each family. Bless every mom and dad, single moms, single dads. Lord, we pray that you bless our kids, our children, our infants. Lord, our high school students, our college students. Lord, those that are serving in the military. Lord, release your power. Release your blessing upon their lives. Bless Pastor Jackson as he flies back to Uganda tonight. We pray, Lord, that you would strengthen him, encourage him, and protect him by your supernatural and mighty power. We pray for all of our ministry friends all over the world. Lord, we pray that you would touch them, bless them, encourage them. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise God. God bless you. We'll see you back here soon.